the training introduction, let me just share what we're going to go over today and give you a quick overview, and then we'll go into the individual sections. We're going to talk about the purpose and the objectives, give an introduction overall to the teaching, the process, qualifications, responsibilities, reports, and then at the end of each section, we're going to have time for questions about that. So there'll be a lot of interaction between us. You don't have to wait till all the way to the end to ask a question. So at the end of each segment, ask the questions that you want, because this is a work that we're doing and it's evolving and we want to get it better and better, and this is just the beginning. Section number 3 will be define really what the difference between a chaplain is, and then number 4, a tour guide. And it's really kind of evolved this last 2 years since the road and everything's been open, that our purpose that God had hasn't changed. But it's kind of like with the military, and I know Jim McKnight and Bill and some of the others of you may have been in the military, but sometimes you get the orders and God tells you to do something, and like in the military, and you're on a need-to-know basis, you don't get to know everything until you're on site, you know, and then he opens up more. We found out that there's actually more that God wants us to do than he originally told me, and it's a part of his plan, apparently, but it has to do with the wounded that are coming and the desperate that are coming. Originally, we were just trying to get a couple million people saved, you know, and that's kind of what I thought this was, and it's working, you know, and it's drawing people, but I had no idea how many would be drawn to that cross who are desperate, who are in need, who are hurting, and as those of you that have been ministering know, it's more than just about bringing people to Christ. It's getting them healed and whole and empowered. And when Jesus died on the cross, it wasn't just for salvation, you know. The atonement included everything. And so we really, from the original course that we gave several years ago, if all the focus was just on evangelism, now we see there's really, this cross is a place of healing too. And so we have to be prepared for that when the Holy Spirit takes us off the tour script, because there's somebody that's got a problem. There, a young girl like we had that was pregnant, or somebody else that had mental issues, or somebody else that's husband had just left them, or somebody else that was trying to get off of drugs, or something, you know, it goes on and on and on, abuse things, healing things, cancer, you know, jail. The people are coming to the cross, and so we need to be able to do what God wants us to do to help them get to the place of healing and wholeness they need. And of course, salvation's the beginning. But it's not the end, and God doesn't want us to stop our tour at the deal and say, okay, good luck. I think he wants us to do more, so we'll try to talk about that today. And then in about an hour, we're going to do the PowerPoint presentation that will be enjoyable and with all the pictures and get you the story in a real enjoyable way. Some of you have seen it. We've added to it some things, but we'll go through that pretty fast. So at least it's a good way to get the overall story in. There's a lot of different ways you can get it, but that's one way. And then we'll talk about unscheduled guests. That seems to be at least probably 60 or 70% of what we have folks coming out there, people we didn't know were coming. And we're out there and they show up. And so we'll talk about the differences between those guests versus the scheduled tours. And we have people calling and Sunday school classes and church groups and others that want to come out and bring a scheduled tour. And so that's a little different. We'll talk about that. And then in number 8, we'll talk about the supplies that we need for ourselves to meet the folks, and then also things that we can give them. And finally, training resources, and I'll point you to all the different places where, if you want to know more, where you can find that. And then policies, procedures, we'll talk about some of the different ways we're going to try to function, because this apparently is going to be here from now on until Jesus gets here, because the people are coming. Some of us will not be here forever, and we will go on up to heaven, but others will follow us, and so we're trying to make a good foundation for others to build on. And so what we're doing today is not finished, it's not perfect, but it's a place to start. And so that's what we'll do when we discuss some policies and procedures. Finally, schedules at the garden and how to cover the hours. We've figured out that it's good to have somebody up there all the time. Now, the cool thing about the way God designed this vision, because we are optional, all of us. We don't have to be there. The Holy Spirit is there. His truth is there. His cross is there. And we get hundreds of cards from people that have been touched by God. And nobody was around except him. And so that's unique from any revival, any ministry, any crusade that's going on the planet that I know of. So We'll talk about that and how the hours come in. And then also fire alarm alerts. We've seen, as I've watched our live video, suddenly a bustle pull up. And then all of a sudden you got 50 or 60 people. And some of you are close and can get out there. Others are not. But it's probably worth trying to let everybody know. And then everybody can pray and say, God, do you want me up there? And then go up there if God says to do it. And then finally we will end with a conclusion explaining what the mission is going forward. Now, before we go into the detail of it, I'd like for Jim McKnight and Colonel Bill Lewis, would you come up here, or here, right here maybe? I wanted to acknowledge these two guys, so come up here. Now, these guys are master evangelists. Now, those of you that know them know they are. But what I wanted to do was to acknowledge and honor you gentlemen. I want you to share a little bit. I know, Bill, you had a real exciting day yesterday, and I want you to share about that. And then, Jim, I want you to share. And then I want you guys to pray over us and to impart to us what God has given to you. And so I just want to acknowledge these two guys. And these guys go out every single week, and they spend hours out there, and they have just incredible testimonies. Now, Bill, if you would you tell us just what happened? This was yesterday. And then, Jim, I want you to talk a minute.
I normally go up to the cross on Monday from 4 to 6 and on Friday from 4 to 6. And usually have two or three groups, maybe 10, 12 folks. Yesterday I was up on my normal time, got up a little early and had about 10 minutes of prayer in the cross. And then I had 8 groups yesterday, total of about nearly 40 folks from all over. I had folks from as far away as New Mexico. Most of them were in the Texas area, Midland, Odessa, Big Springs, north of Dallas. And miraculously, most of those folks were born-again Christians yesterday. And they were there for a purpose. The last two groups were local, a lady bringing up two friends that had never been to the cross before, prayed in the cross for the special needs of the two friends, and we prayed with them. And then the last group was two couples, one from Comfort that had never been there before, another local. One that was especially interesting for me, not interesting, but especially rewarding yesterday, there was a young lady that was about, she was probably 8 or 9 years old. She had lost her grandmother the day before yesterday. And she asked her mother to bring her up there so she could pray for her grandmother. So we had a little prayer of assurance that she was definitely going to see grandmother again. And the grandmother was with Jesus, and Jesus was holding her close, and she was having a ball. So there was really nothing to be too concerned about in the loss of grandmother, other than the loss of a companionship for this period of time we call on earth, our heaven, our life here on earth. We assured her that she'd have a long, long time with grandmother, and that everything would be fine. And I think she left there with a whole lot more peace than she arrived with. And that's sort of what the cross does for a lot of people. I think most of the people that I visit with find perfect peace and comfort in prayer inside the cross. I've been a prayer for a long, long time, and I find that is one of the best places to get on your knees and talk to the Lord I have found in my years. So questions about those folks, or questions about what you would do with them. We pray with most everyone. As large as the group was yesterday, it's hard to do a detail. I did a little thumbnail sketch of what the cross was about. I pull out the brochure with all the art on it and flip it over on the back and show them what the cross is going to look like, and what the overall 23 acres looks like. Give them just a touch of Max's vision and the many miracles, whatever you can do in the short period of time you have. But when you have that many people and one guy, it's very difficult to be a tour guide or to be a chaplain. But you sort of feel the needs of the individual and try to respond to the need of that individual, whomever it may be, at the cross at that particular time. Wilma and I had a heartbreak gal up there a couple of weeks ago that was really interesting, and this lady is still have an email buddy now. She wants prayer, and we are offering prayer to her. Email prayer to her.
Amen. Before you leave,
yeah,
pray a prayer and impart over us, okay? Would you? Just whatever God tells you.
Okay. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for bringing this wonderful group of your children together. We're here, Lord. We're here to be able to serve you better. We're here to learn. We're here to be your witnesses. We're here to learn how to be better witnesses. Father, we pray that you would open our ears and our hearts and our minds to the message that Max has for us today and that you have for through Max for us. And when Max has completed his message to us, Lord, we ask that you would truly send us forth your witnesses, your children in need, whomever they may be and wherever they may be, but especially at your cross on your mountain and all of these things. Father, we pray in your name, and we ask your blessing. Amen.
Jim, come up here and you share a little bit and then pray over us if you would.
Well, for Max, for a super evangelist like that to put me in the same category with Bill and Ron is a humbling experience. In fact, as I look over the group here, know most of you, and I see bold witnesses. It encourages me to see when you folks function out there. I missed out on a lot of the witnessing when we opened up. You guys were, and many others were out there talking it up, like Bill was sharing, the experiences you were having with those throngs of people. But meanwhile, my role is a facilitator. I love to see a plan come together. So I was working on these evangelism, sharing Jesus evangelism workshops behind the scenes. You know, the A-team has that leader there that he just loved to see a plan come together. And so I see the plans coming together. My opportunity to get a touch of what you've been experiencing is when Peggy came up with the idea, somebody needs to clean those sculptures. And while we're doing that, we can have our opportunity to be praying with these people and so forth. And it really, for a shy person like me, it helps. It helps a lot when I'm doing something wearing this bright red apron that it just attracts like mosquitoes with honey. They just come to you. So it relaxes me quite a bit. Now, Wilma is one of our newest members, and she's exciting to watch in action. The other two people that we have are Carolyn and also Lana. Those are the people that are kind of drawn to do that type of ministry. That's a little bit about what Max asked me to talk about. So I just pray a prayer in the name of Jesus. Impart the scriptures that talk about boldness, and then I go to beyond scripture into what's in my heart is to take no prisoners. The hell is a real thing, and we want to save these people, and Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, is going to do that. We just pray that each and every one of us can be responsive to what the Holy Spirit is asking us to do as we, in any situation, not just out at the cross, but anywhere, we run across a human being that's alive and kicking, and even those that are dead. And I, when I say that, I not only say it, Lord, in dead, that spiritual deadness. So we just thank you, Lord, for these people. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Let's move into number two, training, introduction here real quick. And we'll try to go through this quick, and then we'll have time for the discussion and the question. But in the training introduction, basically, our purpose, and hopefully most of you know this, is to serve our guests and to meet the needs and to connect them with God. Ultimately, we want to bring glory and souls to Jesus Christ. You know, the vision, we want to explain the vision if God makes time for that. Now, in some cases, the situation is desperate and they are there. And so you don't even have to mention the vision, the garden, the story. You know, the bottom line of this whole teaching and class and what we do up there is we'll be prepared. We'll know the word. We'll know the gospel. We'll know our story. But we need to let the Holy Spirit direct us. And so we really have to just push pause on our deal and let the Holy Spirit, and He will show you where you're supposed to go. So just obey Him and go. I can remember one time I had a Sunday school teacher and some a couple in the class were very shy and never spoke up. And Sherry and I sat there for years and they never said a word. Real shy couple. And then one day in the middle of the teacher's teaching, they ask a question. And the teacher turned to them and said, we don't have time for your question. I have to finish my lesson. And I was back then was more shy than I am now. But I said, wait a minute. This couple has been in this class for all this time and never once have they spoken up. And they had a question. I think you should stop your lesson for a second and answer their question. Okay, well, that made an indelible impression in me. And I could see how the Holy Spirit was trying to do something, and this teacher just squashed it, just shut it down. And they never said anything again, you know. So the bottom line is let the Holy Spirit lead. This is His dance, you know, we're doing, and let's follow Him. And so you don't have to be stressed out that we didn't say this or we didn't say that. And you don't have to be stressed out about doing stuff perfect, because I've already learned too, if your heart's right, God will fix your words. I mean, in one of our, early when we moved to Kerrville after the baptism, I prayed for a guy that was had a heart condition, and God straightened his crossed eyes. And I never prayed for the crossed eyes. God just did it. You know, I was there trying to help these total strangers and prayed what I knew, and God straightened his crossed eyes instantly. And he was able to read. So that gives us a lot of freedom. You don't have to be stressed out over not having exactly the right words or whatever. The main thing is you come with your heart open to serve God and a humble heart, and the Holy Spirit will give you what you need and the words. And even if you don't say the right words exactly perfect, He does what's right anyways through you. And you can say one thing and they can hear something else, because this is a supernatural ministry that we're in, you know. So we want to present the gospel, you know, and we want to, if it's possible in this time, we want to inspire them and entertain and educate and challenge and connect. And then present the gospel in however way God allows us to do that if they are not born again. Also, we want to, if they have not tapped into the power of God. And there's a lot of Christians like I was in my earlier days that were thinking I had everything. And I would quickly tell everybody I knew everything, had everything. And if I didn't, there was some Baptist that did. And, you know, that knew everything. And that's just kind of where I came from. And many of us are there. But you have to sense out what the timing is in the moment. Do what God wants. And you may get to present that. But that's like on the buffet that we've got here. We've got all these good things about God we want to share, but we may not be able to give them the whole $12 buffet at one shot. You know, maybe we can, and that happens, but maybe not. Maybe we got to deal with a certain issue right there at that moment. You know, we've had people that were suicidal that have come up there and God touched them and they, you know, changed their life and saved their life. And we've had others that just, you know, right at that moment, critical things. So those are, you know, ideally we would pray for everybody before they leave. I mean, even short little prayers. It's another thing that I learned. We don't have to have long, beautiful, flowing religious prayers. You know, again, it's the heart deal, touching Jesus. And I try with people, even if they're rejecting me and the gospel, to at least say, can I just pray, God blesses you, you know? And if I can touch their shoulder by laying on hands gently with my finger, if not, I don't. You know, with ladies and men, you got to be real cautious about that kind of thing. But whatever, I try to pray because the supernatural usually happens in the prayer. That, I mean, it just does. I mean, God can do anything He wants, any way He wants, but more often than not, He's waiting for you to speak His will into existence. So pray for the folks and then seek support if that's appropriate. Some cases, it's not. But if somebody's all excited about what we're doing in the garden, then explain to them that we do need help, we need support, we need donations, we need prayers, we have several different programs, Ambassadors of the Cross, the Pavers, volunteer things, if they want to get engaged. And a lot of you sitting in this room, I didn't grab you, God did. You know, I mean, see these faces, and He grabbed you, He brought you here. And that's what He's doing with a lot of people. So that's all part of what we can do in our objectives. We've called the volunteers the Volunteer Fire Department. And that's kind of a catchy little name, but the idea is we are volunteers. And the fire we want is the fire of the God, fire of the Holy Spirit. And so we're not really trying to put that fire out. We're trying to make that fire blaze. And so, and then we're together like a department. So all the volunteers of the Coming King Foundation, we kind of refer to them lovingly, affection, as the volunteer fire department. And Johnny Sharp over there is our fire chief. So if you have any questions about the volunteers and stuff, he's our fire chief. We're trying to talk Don into being our dispatcher, that we can actually have a fire dispatcher. So when we got an alarm, and we'll talk about that in a minute, that we can send out the firemen, volunteer firemen, to get out there and stoke that fire. The difference between the tour guides and the chaplains, we'll talk about that in a little more detail, but basically the chaplains do ministry and are not necessarily giving tours. The tour guides are also chaplain and can present the gospel, but they're willing and capable and know the story to do present a tour to a group. And that's the basic difference. And then we are hoping to have an annual training like this. And the reason this is important, why it's not just a lifetime deal like the Supreme Court, is that we need to update ourselves and encourage ourselves on what's going on out there and see who's out there serving. And at the same time, that gives us the opportunity where if somebody is not doing their job, we don't continue them on wearing the apron and being a lifetime tour guide. If somebody's not doing what they should be doing, then we don't want them wearing the badge. And so by this annual thing, and this is the way we did this in the bow hunter education, we didn't give lifetime instructor certifications. They had to be renewed. And that way it gives us a chance to control, because when we wear the red apron, we want tourists to know that they can talk to those people. Those are safe people, and that they represent God and us. Now, related to qualifications, responsibilities, and reports, of course, to be a tour guide or a chaplain, you need to be born again and empowered with the Holy Spirit. We can't give away what we don't have. And so, we are different than the tour guides over at the Grand Canyon and over at the White House and over at the Gettysburg. We're not giving a 30 to 45 minute spiel that's a historic thing. We're actually connecting people with God Almighty. And this is not a normal tour guide thing. So the tour guides that we have, they can learn all the history, but if they don't know the gospel and Jesus, we don't need them, because we're not just, God didn't call us just to entertain people or inspire people. I mean, the art is only a device that God is using to draw people in. When we get it landscaped and it's beautiful and the flowers, that's, yes, that'll bless people, but it's just a method God will use to draw in more people that like flowers and like gardens and all those kind of things. So we have to be willing to ourselves be born again, receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Now let me just, all of you here I can see are born again, but as I give this class and as you give this class in the future, this is a good place to stop and say, okay, look, here, and you basically can do a real quick present the gospel right here. You can just say, often I've led people to Christ when I'm checking out at a restaurant in line with people, and it can be real fast. It doesn't have to be long, but I mean, there's a lot of ways, but if you remember the ABCs, that's a little easy way to remember. They got to ask, they got to believe, and they got to confess, and that Jesus is Lord, and confess their sins. If you can remember that ABCs, then very quickly, without getting into all the deal, and Holy Spirit will give you the words, but you basically just let the Lord guide you. But it's pretty simple. You can even boil it down at times with some. I've said, look, there's eternity. God is real. The devil is real. There's heaven and there's hell. Heaven's real nice. Hell is hot, and it's not good, and it's forever. Which would you rather go to? And then that'll tell you where they are theologically, and it'll open that whole thing up. But anyways, we need to be born again, and that's the first priority on our list. And then we need to also be empowered with the Holy Spirit. And instead of getting into all the theology of all the scripture, which they can get to, it's simply a matter of explaining to somebody, yes, when you get born again, you have all of God. You didn't get shortchanged on anything. You get Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But it's about Him getting all of you. It's really about what the powerment is, the baptism, whatever you want to call it, the filling. And so I avoid theological arguments by simply just asking it kind of simple like that. If there's more he wants to give you, if there are gifts he wants, your father wants to give you, do you want it? And then they get it. Then they can go read the Bible and figure out what they've got. Other qualification responsibilities. We felt like that our tour guides and chaplains need to be at least 18 years old, that they got to complete the volunteer application, and that they're willing to serve at least 4 hours per month at the garden. And this can be in any way. This doesn't have to be necessarily with your red apron on, standing there ready to meet guests. It can be when you're doing your services and ministries and the other kind of things. But what we were trying to do is to get people that were willing to commit to be there. And what we expect, though, when you're in any capacity at the garden, whether you're emptying the trash or whatever, if you, the Holy Spirit shows you somebody in need, you go over to them. You know, you go over to them and you interrupt what you're doing at that moment and see if you can serve them. And then we ask that people, our tour guides and chaplains, file a fruit report. And this is, we've got a form. It's on the website. But we want to keep the fruit, because Jesus said if there's not any fruit coming from a ministry, then you need to check and see what's wrong. And there's a whole lot of ministries doing a lot of work, and they don't have any fruit. They're not getting salvations. They're not getting baptisms. They're not getting healings. They're not getting, you know, the fruit. And so, to me, in my life, that's where I've tried to support ministries, where when I see this fruit coming up, where something's actually happening in the kingdom. And so, anyways, we just ask you either fill out the form or send an email and fill it out. And you can even, like Bill Lewis says, he drops his report off in the Dropbox. Sometimes he emails it to me. And it can be any form. But what we really want to do is find out the salvations, what God did, the healings, and get those documented. And again, qualifications to agree to attend this training class. And then chaplains and tour guides also must agree to be submitted to the authority of the Coming King Foundation Board. And because this isn't a Lone Ranger deal. And we really, we help each other. We're the body. And so we need to come under authority. Also, if something happens, and it can happen when you start getting lots of people doing lots of stuff, that you got somebody there that's not doing things right, and they have to come under authority, or we have to let them go. And then, of course, need to know the basic story. Be willing to share the full gospel with everything that God has, if you have time. Be willing to pray publicly out loud. Now, some, I know that's a hard thing. They say one of the greatest fears in the world is public speaking. Remember, my dad said when I was little, I was vaccinated with a phonograph needle way back then, and so that hadn't been a problem. He said when I was 3 years old, I talked all the way from Houston to Beaumont, standing up with him. And so they figured I was going to be a talker, I guess. But for some, it's not so easy. But let me put you at ease. Jesus promises to give you the words. God, Holy Spirit, He promises to give you the words. So you don't have to stress out about that. Just be willing to stand up for Jesus, and He'll give you what you need to say. And it'll be different. It'll be, you know, I'm one way. Ron Peterson, for example, is very soft-spoken, gentle. You got to get close to hear the guy. And yet he's leading people by the hundreds. And I'm just naive enough to believe that God sends the people to Ron that need to hear Ron's kind of presentation. That gentle, soft, you know, and he'll send me some that need to hear my kind of presentation. And so I think God does that with each of us. So be at peace about that. And then, of course, you need to be willing to seek a commitment from the people before they leave. Now, you may not be able to get that. The Bible says some plant, some water, some harvest. You may get to do the whole thing, and that's wonderful. But just do the part God tells you to do when you're there. If He gives you, brings you to the place, at least ask for a commitment. You know, and a lot of people will present the whole story and tell it, you know, how great God is, and never ask the people, would you like to know Him? Would you like to receive Him? So it's in the sales, we call that, you know, ask for the order. It doesn't do any good to go all the way through and ask for the order and be sensitive to the Spirit, because you don't have to spend any more time necessary selling than God wants you to. I remember when Sherry and I were young and selling my first walleye bronzes, I went into an oil man's office in downtown Houston, and we were in our 20s, and I had a walleye bronze there in the front of him, and I'm telling him how great it is and why he needs one of my bronze sculptures, you know. And he said, Max, you sold me 30 minutes ago. Ask for the order. You know, I went, oh, okay, would you give me a check? Yeah, and he gave me a check, you know. And but anyways, so we all have what we know, and that's wonderful. But sometimes you don't have to unload the whole load on them. That you watch what the Spirit is doing, and at the moment they are ready to receive Christ, step into that moment, you know, right then. Okay, and finally, I would ask that we seek documentation. When God does incredible stuff, we get the documentation. Because a lot of people claim fruit, a lot of ministries claim fruit, but they have no documentation. And we got people getting healed out there, really physically healed, emotionally, psychologically healed, and get the documentation. What I mean by that, get their name, get their address, get their phone number, get their email so we can get a follow-up. If there's doctors involved, find out about that. I try to take pictures, you guys, and that's why I carry a camera with me every way, because a picture literally is worth 1,000 words. And you can say somebody got healed, but if you then show them the picture of the person that got healed and say, this is their name, this is the date, this is the place, this is the witnesses, that's pretty hard to dismiss, because the world wants to dismiss all of this Jesus stuff. And we have a website now, and we also, I'm doing a book, and so we're going to be putting a lot of that in there. So if you can, excuse me, and if God does something real crazy and amazing, take a picture and get it to us and let us all know what God did. I know Bob said there was a family from San Antonio that came up here 3 weeks ago, and the girl blind from birth was prayed for in the cross, and started the healing process for her, and her folks came back 3 weeks later to thank God. But apparently, and we're trying to get more documentation of that one, but it's those kind of things that we want to get. Now, I've got a lot of the photos of people that we know are got healed, and we have the evidence of it. And so let's collect that. So as you're in the excitement, and often I'm bad about it too. It's like when the UFO lands in front of you, sometimes you forget to get your camera. You know, I mean, you're so blown away by what's happening. And that's the way it is sometimes with God miracles. You just sit there in awe, and then they walk away and you forget, I didn't take the picture. But Holy Spirit, help us remember to document. Because Lord, I know for sure if the disciples that had cameras, they'd have been taking pictures. They'd have been recording. They'd have been doing everything they could. And this just gives us credibility. So try to document stuff. And then finally, if you would, wear your servant's apron. And especially if you're on duty. And you're welcome to not wear it if you're just going up for a second or whatever. But if you really believe God wants you to engage with the folks, do that. Because that helps the folks. Because there's a lot of people up there, and you know, you just don't want to go up. I mean, some people, they don't know what's going on up there. And so this is really a way that the Holy Spirit can reassure those people that we're with Him. Okay, questions, discussion on that particular section. Number 3, the chaplain duties. Okay, the basic thing for chaplains is to present the gospel. And also about the power of the empowerment, what some call the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You need to be prepared to know the gospel, taking one of the evangelism courses Jim is giving is highly recommended because it really gives you the breadth and depth that you need for all the different kind of people that come. And so that kind of thing, any kind of training you can get there, or read the books. But this class is not going to teach that class. We're not going to try to teach you how to do evangelism. You should know that when you get here and be born again. But anyways, I recommend that highly. And I thank God that, Jim, you're doing that, because if you keep that thing rolling, or even if you pass the mantle to somebody else, we're probably always going to need that, because those are the people that are going to want to come then here and get out there, because this is the best fishing hole in the world, or one of them at least, to use those things, because people are coming and saying, what must I do to be saved? You know, doesn't get any easier than what we got going up there, you know. So, but anyways, now here's a real important thing that we've discovered. A lot of this we've discovered in this last year since we opened the front entrance of the garden. We had assumptions about what would happen, but now that it's been open and we've had thousands of people through the garden already, we have a better idea of what's really going on. But we've figured out we need to allow God to touch people before we do. And what I mean by that is, you know, us typical evangelists, we're like a bird dog going for the quail. I mean, we're go and we set, and all you got to do is say go, and man, we're over there. And my operating. I look for the signals. I go at a gas station and grocery store, wherever I am. You know, I do that. But what I've learned there and also here, see what the Spirit's doing, and so pray. And so let's say you're out there and you got your red apron on, and you're sitting in the shade or next to the cross or whatever, or you may be even up by the parking lot. If people come, what I've started doing personally, and you do whatever the Holy Spirit tells you, but I kind of wait. I kind of let them go around the garden, look at the artwork, and then I wait till they go into the cross. And I see them go into the cross, and people will sometimes spend 20 minutes in there, and they'll come out of the cross weeping. I said, we didn't talk them into Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit just did it sovereignly. And we had one lady that exact way. I was over there trying to put literature on the table and do that stuff, and I saw a lady go into the cross. And I thought, should I go over there and offer my services and offer to pray for her? And I felt like the Holy Spirit said, no, just leave her alone. Do what you're doing, you know. So I waited, and she was in the cross about 20 or 30 minutes. And then she starts leaving the cross briskly, walking towards our parking lot. And at that time, I felt like the Holy Spirit said, now you can go. So I went over to this total stranger, and I stopped her before she could get in the car. And she's weeping and just tears pouring down her cheeks. And I said, hi, I'm with the foundation. Is there anything I can pray for you? And she said, well, I just asked God to heal me. I've got a condition, and I just asked God to heal me in that while I was in the cross. And I said, well, great, let me just pray and agree with you, you know. And so I just said, God, thank you. Thank you for the healing that you did on the cross with this lady in Jesus' name. And she's crying, and she was already a believer, and she was having to go somewhere. So that's as much as it was. I just agreed with what the Holy Spirit just did in the cross. And guess what happened? She emailed me. I gave her her card. She emails me back, and she got healed at the cross. She'd just been to the doctor in Fredericksburg, you know, and God did it. You know, it's possible the same thing would have happened if we intercepted her first. But the fact that she went to Jesus, she didn't go to a person. He touched her. And then we're just his servants, like the angels, to do whatever he wanted. And all I did was verbalize what had just happened and agreed in prayer. And then she had somebody to tell what happened. So she let me know. So you do what the Holy Spirit tells you. But at least what I've tried to do is let people get to the cross and see what God does with them in the cross, just him and them. And then when they come out, then be there to say you're with the foundation. I can be happy to pray with you or answer any questions. And then often the whole thing will open up and you'll find out because God's already touched them. You know, and it's really great. It's like setting up the deal is what happens. And then we just do whatever the Holy Spirit tells us. So be observant. And then be an observant, listen to that still small voice, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. God will tell you to go over there or not go over there, you know, and just to wait. And again, as we've said, we've learned, the people are coming for different reasons. Some are coming just to see the art. That's great. You know, they're curious. They like art. They like maybe Christian art. But we've discovered that lots of people are coming with a, you know, pressing need. Something's going on in their life at that very moment. Some are absolutely desperate, you know, that something has just happened within 30 minutes. Somebody has died. Somebody's gone to jail. Somebody just found out they got cancer. And so determine what their need is and then go to that. Because the Holy Spirit will show you that. So if they're saying, look, I got cancer, don't start explaining to them about the artwork, for example, you know. You know, or if they're afraid they're going to go to hell and they just got some conviction on them that they got to, you know, they don't want to go to hell. Don't start telling them about the flowers or what's going to be there in the waterfall down at the bottom. So it's just being sensitive. I know most of you are there, but there are a few folks that they're going to do the spiel, whatever, because they think that's the deal, but it's not. That is just there to be used by God. So go for what God's need is. And sample questions, y'all already have them. Bill's had given us a bunch of good ones, and Jim and his class teaches them. But often what I'll use is something like, welcome to the garden, where are you from? And that's assuming like after they've been to the cross or whatever. Or if they come to me, that's another thing. Sometimes they'll come right to you with the red apron because they want to know and they've got questions. And that's kind of a non-threatening question, where are you from? Why are you here? That gets a little more pointed. A lot of them will say, man, I just found out my wife's got cancer or whatever. My daughter's run off with somebody. And suddenly, boom, you're right there in the ministry. And then you go there. Often I'll ask, what do you need from God? And then the good salvation question is where are you going to be in 1,000 years? If they're kind of being flippant and kind of, you know, that's no big deal, this isn't the real deal. And then I'll ask them that, where are you going to be in 1,000 years? And that usually stops people in their tracks, and then you'll find out, you know, where they are. If you die tomorrow, are you certain heaven will be your eternal home? Those are general evangelistic questions all evangelists have in their arsenal. But you just let the Holy Spirit guide you. But there'll be one, what's so cool with God, if you're praying, he'll give you the question that is the one that opens him up. And you won't even know that, but it's the one that theirs really is on their heart, and it'll be perfect. So, present the chaplains then, it's their duty to present the gospel if the person's not saved, if they have the opportunity. And often people, you'll get a bunch of them that, well, I think I'm saved, kind of a question. And that may not be the case, but once you can get that figured out and you're praying the whole time, then present the gospel, try to lead them to Christ. Answer their questions and refer people to scripture if necessary, to our brochures, our literature. As you know, the empty cross track that we've got, or the brochure, is actually a stealth track. Yes, it shows the pictures of the cross, but inside are the four plaques. So you can actually hand them that, and it looks like just a beautiful brochure that explains the cross, which it does, and it is. But it goes with them, and the power of God goes with them. And so at a later date, with what questions you posed, God can use that later when they sit there, and read that track. The same as with our CD. You know, people will, just curiosity, will listen to the CD. And I'll often, especially if I've got somebody that they don't want to know, they don't want to care, I'll ask God what the deal is. But I quickly just say, look, I won't tell you the whole story, it's on the CD, but I had a man hand me $500,000 after a dozen hawks flew over his head. And he had just prayed, God, should I give Max $500,000 for this garden? And suddenly the hawks appeared over his head. 19 people witnessed it. And if you'd like to know about that God, listen to the CD. The rest of the story. And so often they're trying to make tracks out, but let me tell you, money gets most people. You know, and that is a whale of a miracle that we've got that's documented, that's true. And so just use whatever God tells you. But I try to, as I said, don't let the people leave without blessing them in some way with a simple prayer if you can. That may not be true in every single case, but whatever you can, if you just said the simplest little prayer, like, God bless this person, Jesus' name, God can take that one little tiny prayer, and you have no idea what's going to happen in the next 48 hours with that person, because that releases the Holy Spirit to do, and we speak that future into existence. So, now about presenting the empowerment, the baptism, you know, I was raised Southern Baptist, y'all know that, 40 years Southern Baptist, fourth generation Southern Baptist on both sides of my family, in the Baptist church for 40 years, never went to another church except in a funeral or a wedding. And we don't talk about this a lot, but the Bible is full in the Old Testament and the New Testament talking about the power and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Now, some denominations have their names for it, baptism and filling and second work of grace. I don't try to get hung up in the theology, because we've all been trained in that at a certain point in time, or I did. I told somebody they were nuts when they were telling me this was for real. But then I had a crisis in my life. My wife got a life-threatening illness. My dad got an incurable disease. And suddenly, this Southern Baptist needed a miracle because the doctors couldn't help. And I went back and read the whole Bible, and I found out all the stuff about healing and miracles and stuff was in my Baptist Bible, which we never studied in all 40 years in the class. If you get into a real theologian, you may have to get into the theology, but I tried to basically get them to receive this empowerment, this gifts, which is technically in them because the Holy Spirit's in them. And then they can go read the scripture and they can find out about it later. And often you don't have time to do all the theology and the stuff about that. When I present Christ now and get somebody saved, I don't let them walk away without telling them about the empowerment, the baptism. And 99.9% of the time, right after they got saved, they want everything God has. They want to serve Him to the fullest extent. And so that is the time. So that's why I think at this cross, when we're up there, if God gives us the chance, we should give them the whole deal. We should be able to let them know, okay, now you got salvation, He's your Lord, but now there's the power, and He wants more of you. And so would you like the 9 gifts, the miracle, 1 Corinthians 12 gifts? And most times they don't even know what 1 Corinthians is or the 12 gifts. And I said, look, it's real good. It's God. They're supernatural gifts. It's not natural gifts like art ability or music ability or writing ability. These are the supernatural gifts. I try not to let anybody leave without making sure they got salvation and this empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And the reason I use the word empowerment is because us Southern Baptists can accept that word. But we've been told, don't trust the Pentecostals that say baptism of the Holy Spirit or whatever. You know, in the teaching through some of them, not all of them. But anyways, so don't get into the arguments. Just say, do you want everything God has? If there's more, to be a better servant, do you want it? And most people will say yes, especially at that moment of salvation. And if you got time, you can explain all about the 9 gifts. If you don't, give them the brochure. It has all the scriptures. They can go read it for themselves in the Bible. Okay, so be willing to do that. And what happens is when we're pray this for somebody, when you get born again, it's like you get into God's army. When you get this empowerment, you're armed and dangerous. I mean, see, and that's the difference. I mean, that really is. Because yes, you can come into God's army and you can get your uniform and all your boots. But until somebody gives you the gun and teaches you how to use it, you're just standing there in your fatigues. And the enemy is fully armed. And God never intended for His kids to go out just in their fatigues. That's right. They were supposed to be fully armed. But in our church in the last 2,000 years, a lot of the church, especially in the mainline denominations, have pushed and separated the two, saying the first is real, the second's not real, or you don't need it. And so we want to be dangerous to the devil. So what I'll just do is I'll pray for people for the gifts and make it simple in whatever vocabulary God gives you. And I pray God baptize them with fire and power in Jesus' name. Release the 9 gifts that are in them because you're in them. Then I'll have the people say, you need an agreement. You need a commitment. I'll say, are you in agreement with that? And they say, well, yes, I am. Then I say, would you pray a little prayer and just tell the Lord? And then they will pray. And that prayer to them lets you know they're not just doing something you talked them into, but that actually they're making that connection. And you're making sure that connection has been made between them and the Lord for the power. If you have time, you can explain more. And if they have time, if you don't, put them, give them to the Bible, send them to the Bible, give them the scriptures. And occasionally I will, if there's time and God's leading it that way, I'll explain the gifts real briefly that they don't normally manifest unless you step out. You know, the gift of healing will not happen until you pray for a sick person. That you have to step out of the boat in faith, step out of the boat in faith like Peter did. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And if you do that, then He will honor that prayer, and you just trust Him. We are not the healers. We know the healer. We connect them to the healer, but He expects us to pray. And so I'll encourage them to use the gifts. And if there is the moment, I'll talk about the prayer language, or the tongues, which us Southern Baptists normally don't like to hear about. We'll put it in a vocabulary that says it's a special language that God gives His kids. And it's a way you can pray to God, and it lifts your spirit up, and it's good. I don't know which gifts God's going to give you, but they're all good. Any gift from God is good. And so if I have time, I'll let them explain that a little bit. If not, I'll just put them to the resources. But once they've prayed in their heart, those 9 gifts have been activated. And then God chooses when they come out. And so once somebody's prayed this prayer, I've never had anybody then talk against the gifts, because it's already in work in them. Even though they may not have experienced all of them, their spirit witnesses to them, this is for real. Maybe it's worth saying one little thing about the prayer language. If God leads you to do it, one way to explain it to a Southern Baptist is, first of all, I'm not asking you to make anything up. We only want what's really from God. And so I normally will never pray in my prayer language in front of somebody until after they're praying, because I don't want them to think they were talked into it or they were coached into it. And some of the denominations grab you and say, brother, say yabba-dabba-doo, you know, and you go the rest of your life wondering, is yabba-dabba-doo really tongues, you know? And instead, I explain, look, if you're willing, God will give that to you in his time and his way, and all you have to do is be willing and think about Jesus, give God sound. He won't force sound out of your mouth. He will not do that. But you have to give him sound. And as you give him sound, like an ah sound or whatever, then words and syllables will come into your mind. And you can say them or not say them. And a lot of people have never had that explained. But that's how it happens for, a lot of us, is it comes. And so, anyways, it takes off the pressure. And some, I'll say, well, do you want to pray for that and see if that gift will manifest now? Or do you want to do it by yourself later? And some will say, I want to know right now. And others will say, let me do this later by myself. I say, great, just bless them. So, because all those different gifts will come up in God's way and God's time. Finally, pray for the needs of the people, because we're in that business now. It's not just salvation. We're actually, he's sending people to the cross with all kinds of needs. So find out why they came, pray for those needs, and then if possible, have the people even pray themselves with you about those needs. And one of the big things, as you probably most of you know, unforgiveness is a major block for miracles in people's lives. It's like over 50% of the people that we've prayed for that got healed, we had to deal with unforgiveness first. And when that's dealt with, we've actually had people get healed before. As soon as they forgave, I never had time to pray for healing. Boom, they're instantly healed. And so let the Holy Spirit direct you, and the Bible is full of those things. But we want to put people in the ideal position to receive everything God has and all of his miracles. And if there's stuff going on, if there's, you know, cheating on their wife or their husband, if they're stealing from their employer, and then they want to come up and get healed for cancer, yes, you can pray until you're blue in the face all day long to be healed of the illness. But if they're doing this stuff, odds are not too good. Now, God can still do anything he wants. Sometimes he can heal them, and then they realize, oh, my gosh, he's real. But more than often than not, he wants to deal with those issues. And then you come to him, and you get rid of all the demonic stuff and the things that's got claws in you. You pull those claws out, then the healing can come and the miracles can come. So pray for those. Break any curses if you have to. And use the vocabulary that doesn't scare people, depending on where they're from. You know, like I would have, in my Baptist roots, certain words would have scared me, you know. So and if they're coming from some of those denominational backgrounds that aren't comfortable with the words of demonic or demon, then I'll just tell them, anything that's bad, that's attacking this person, you got to go in Jesus' name. Because the main thing is, you know your authority in Christ. The devil knows your authority in Christ. And you speak it into the air. And then it happens. And then the people can find out later, oh, I got free of alcohol, I got free of drugs, I got healed. So speak a blessing over them, speak healing, but do whatever the Holy Spirit says. And it'll be different with every single person. Okay, finally, for the chaplains, we need to direct people to the resources they need. Because sometimes God does the whole deal right there in the moment. And that's wonderful when he does, get the picture. But other times, it took a while to get into a situation. It's going to take a while to get out. And they may need help. And so we've got our literature there on the table. We got Bibles. Thanks to Johnny Sharp and others that have donated Bibles. We're able to give free Bibles to everybody that comes up there. That's amazing. And but we connect them with God, and we give them our resources, the tracts. And if the conversation is such that you can tell them about the decals and auto emblems and ambassadors of the Christ, cross, and all those kind of things. If you're not in some kind of an urgent crisis mode thing, don't try to tell somebody about the decal if, you know, they got the world's falling apart around them. Okay. All right. And then offer also help from local churches and ministries and counseling in the area. So if you're finding out, let's say somebody just decided they don't want to be an alcoholic anymore, or a drug addict anymore, and you pray, you do what the Bible calls deliverance, you get them clean, you get them well, you get them delivered, then it's a good idea to say, look, you need to now get with some folks and get with some help and some professional help and some people that understand the biological as well as the spiritual. you know, somebody like that, like Chris Daniel over there, is a good counselor. He does counseling. He's trained, certified in the state of Texas. But he's unique in that he understands the spiritual dynamic as well as the biological dynamic. And it takes both to get somebody healed of addictions, because there's a demonic component to all those kind of things. And if you just treat one side of it, you're never going to get it well. It's just going to keep coming back. But when you do both, then the person can be well. And that's why so many AAA folks are probably great evangelists, because they got in there and they got connected with God, they got free, and they are on fire for the Lord now because he set them free. So anyways, what we're going to do is we'll have a sign up on the at the garden, right, kind of by the tables that we're working on, and it'll have the different ways to get help in our community. And we'll have the churches that support the garden. We'll have the Salvation Army. We've already talked to the leadership of the Salvation Army, and we'll be able to refer people to them, and there'll be all kind of needs. And so there'll be a way you can bless them right there, start the process with God, and then send them to some place where they can get further help. And so we'll be connecting with other ministries and groups here in the Hill Country. Okay, any questions about Section 3? Section 4, and it's the tour guide duties. Now the difference, as I said before, between a chaplain and a tour guide, all tour guides should be chaplains, because we don't need them as tour guides if they're not willing to present the gospel and pray for the needs of the people. But in addition to being chaplains, they can function as a tour guide. And we do have people calling, and they want to bring whole busloads of people from Dallas, from Houston, from wherever, up to the garden. Now that we've got the road in, a big bus can actually come up. You know, before we've had to say, we're not sure. The big bus has never been up there. But then one day it happened, we looked up on the mountain, there was this great big bus up there before the road was finished. And I was hoping it was going to be able to get down, or that bus would still be there, you know. And, but the point being is that we have scheduled tours of groups, and so the tour guides need to be willing to, in addition to being chaplains and serving when and how they want at the garden, that if we got a tour group, we can send out an email and say, look, we need somebody on a Sunday afternoon between 2 and 4, where there's going to be 50 people or 50 Presbyterians or 50 Baptists or 50 children or 25, whatever, teenagers, and we'll describe it, y'all pray, and just see who can go. So the deal with those groups is they're coming for a tour. They're not coming because they've got something necessarily that they're coming to that cross to be healed or whatever. They're coming for a tour. They think they're going to the White House or the some other place that gives tours, and so they're expecting that. So what you then need to do is tell them the story of the garden and the empty cross, and explain how God established the garden with prophecy, miracles, signs, and wonders. As you guys probably know, there are few ministries in the world that have as many documented miracles going on as we do. As in quantity of numbers of people that have been touched, there are just not that many out there. And I know most of the ministries, a lot of them, because I'm in the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, and all the big guys and ladies are there. And God's doing a lot of wonderful stuff everywhere, but I don't know anybody that's getting more intervention and miracles. That's pretty amazing. I had somebody come down the road while I was doing something at the bottom of one of the sculptures, and the car came down the hill, and total strangers, and they rolled down the window, and they stopped, and they yelled at me from across the road there over to where I was in the parking lot, said something like, can I tell you what just happened? They didn't know who I was or nothing. And I said, sure, what just happened? And they put their hands out and says, we just got covered in that glory dust. You know, now that was just them and God. I didn't have nothing to do with that, you know. But anyways, we are blessed. So be prepared to share all the good stuff God's doing as much as he wants you to share, and answer the questions of the guests. They're going to have a bunch of questions, so answer those. And so in tour, that should be the first thing you do on a scheduled tour. But then the second part, which all tour guides should do in the time that you've got, is present the gospel, the empowerment, and pray for the needs. And so use our story as a means to catapult you into the story of Jesus. Is that all that's happening here is what he's been doing for 2,000 years. He's real. And you use that because you've already got their attention. If you told them about the $5,000 and the snakes leaving and the pillar of fire or cloud behind the cross that was, you know, Kerrville Fire Department came out. And, I mean, if you get... if you've given them all that, a lot of them are there, they want to know this God. They want to know this God. Now, they just first came for a tour, but now they want to know this God they've just heard about. And so you use our story to introduce his story. So then pray for them if God gives you the opportunity. And depending on what the group is and how it goes, but I've got, in my older age, I've kind of got spoiled into wanting to do it fast. It's like I'm not sure if I'm the first one to use this word, but I'm one of the first. Microwave grace. I've heard others use it since then, but I got into places where I used to lead people one at a time to Christ. And then God would bring me a bunch, and I didn't have time to go do a 30-minute ministry with each one. And so I asked for microwave grace. And what you can do is the same thing. Like, I remember on a loading dock at 12 midnight up in Cincinnati or something at a show, and it was 10 degrees below freezing or something. It was cold. I'm trying to load the Suburban and leave, and I'm tired. Loading the car, and one of the guys said, "Man, I really need God." And I stopped and I said, "Do you really need God?" He says, "Yeah, I need a miracle bad." And I said, "Okay, let me pray for you for a miracle." And the other labor union guys go, "I need a miracle." And the other one next to him says, "I need a miracle." And the one next to him says, "I need a miracle." And the other one said, "Well, I need a miracle too." And I got five rough labor union guys after midnight, below freezing, telling me they all need miracles. So I said, "God, I need the microwave grace here." So I said, "Okay, only way to miracles, you guys, is through Jesus Christ. You have to receive him as your Lord and Savior. Does everybody want to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior?" And they went, "Yes, yes, yes." And I said, "Okay." And I prayed real quick the sinner's prayer. And then I said, "Okay, now I'm going to pray for you for the power, because you can't get rid of all the..." And they probably had drug addictions and alcohol, who knows, pornography. I mean, whatever. I didn't want to take the time. I was freezing. I was tired. So I said, "You know, microwave grace, Lord." And I just put my hand on them, and each one of them. And I said, "Lord, the miracle he needs, give it to him in Jesus' name." And I command that demons attached to that to go. And I got words of knowledge. And I was speaking stuff. I didn't even know where it was coming from. I touched this one, and God said, "Speak against that. Touch this one, speak against that. Command that to go." And in 30 minutes, five people got saved, baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I think healed and delivered. And I mean, microwave grace. So let the Holy Spirit show you. It's the plugs connecting to God is what does the deal. And then they can find out what happened later, you know. So, okay. And finally, as I just said, we direct people to our resources and our brochures, our Bibles, our music, our testimony teaching. Explain the resources in the community. If you've got somebody that doesn't have money and can't feed their kids, you know, tell them about the Salvation Army. The Christian, Kerrville Care?
Cam.
Yeah, Cam.
Christian Alliance Ministry.
Yeah. So anyways, we'll have a sign up that'll make it easy, but let the Holy Spirit tell you, if a mother needs food for their kids, you know, Salvation Army is a good place. And we may even create a referral form from the Coming King where you can sign that, take that, and they can go to somebody like at the Salvation Army and said, "I've been to the cross. They said you could help us." And so we'll create something like that. So show them where the support is. Also, if it's possible, share about the pavers program that we've got. We've got the display that Johnny built us, and it's going to be going to be better with more tiles or pavers laid out. But right now, at least the samples are there. Tell them about the Ambassadors of the Cross and how that day, if they're really excited, and often they are, once they get saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit, they want to get with the program. And then Covenant Partners, the ways they can support us. And there'll be people that God sent up there to help us finish and finish building this thing. And others, we're basically going to be just giving and sowing into them. That's fine. You know, whatever God wants to do. But take the opportunity. And then, of course, you can recommend our websites. And we've got four websites. With our first website, if you've been there, the big flagship, it then has links to the others. So you really only have to tell them the main website address. But if they're all excited about the glory dust and the miracles and all that stuff, then you can go to thecrossatkerrville.org. It connects over. Or if they want to know about how to support it or who is supporting it, Pave the Way to the Cross, that has all the famous people that have endorsed the garden and prayed for it, like Franklin Graham and James Dobson and Oral Roberts before he died, and Pat Robertson and Mike Huckabee and all those kind of good folks. So there's ways that you can connect them to us where you don't have to do a whole lot much more yourself other than give them the connections. That completes that. Is there any questions about that segment about tour guide duties versus the chaplain duties? Anybody have any questions? Yes, ma'am. Lacey.
Your answer was with micro
microwave grace.
But I'm just wondering, if we get a large group and say 30 or 40 people.
What do you do? How do you do that?
Is one person too close to you?
Well, that's a great, yeah. What Lacey's asking is what happens if there's an overwhelming number of people that when you're there? There's first thing to do is pray. And you just say a real sharp prayer, help Jesus, you know. And in the case, if there's time, you can do like what Fern did. And she was up on the mountain and she called and said, man, the whole place, cars are driving up here. Call the firemen, you know. And so we sent out an email. Now, we're going to get on text and we're going to get on maybe even tweets and whatever. But that we alert the troops and those that can get there can come and help. A scheduled tour is something we can plan for, because we'll ask them, how many are you bringing? And they'll say, we're bringing 62. And we'll say, what is the age? And they'll say, 62. And, you know, or whatever. And so we can be prepared for that. So there should be, in the tours, we should have team teaching. I mean, we really should have several people do that to be there. It's the spontaneous ones that just show up is the ones where we have to let God show us how to do it. But you can, he is so big, he can use one person with a whole bunch of people, and especially with this idea of microwave grace. We had the Christian motorcycle group that came up. Some of you may were on the mountain that day. You were? Oh, that was great. That was June Hunt's group out of Dallas. They all came down on their motorcycles, and they were Christian. But I gave the presentation at the YO, and they weren't even going to come out to the cross. After they heard the presentation, they said, we want to go to the cross where we go home. And I got all these motorcycle guys and women, and they looked like motorcycle people. And it was way too many. And I wasn't expecting they were coming because they told me they weren't coming out. And then after the deal, they said, no, we're coming. And I didn't really have time to get a bunch doing. But anyways, I got up there and I prayed for the power of the Holy Spirit on those folks. And I prayed for the glory dust. And all those motorcycle people all got covered in the visible glory of God up there. And I got the pictures. And they're wonderful because they're all over the whole thing. And the motorcycles are all around there. And so God will do it. So you know, I would not worry, Lacey, in the sense of you not, or any of us not being enough, because it just takes one of us with God, and that's more than enough. And it's up to him, and if he, you know, if he wanted somebody else to be there with you to help you, he'll send them. You know, old Chris over there, he just driving along and gets a word from God, and he comes over to the garden any time or day or night, you know, and then whoom, then suddenly the people are there. And so if we all are sensitive to the Spirit, that even if we don't get out the, you know, fire alarm alert, God will still can send people. So does that make sense? Does that answer your question? Yeah, okay. Yes, ma'am.
Is there a form for tours? You know, usually when people come, they'll say, well,
yes.
Are there forms out there at the cross is what I'm mainly asking.
We don't have the tour form. We have a form that is the application for tours. So when somebody calls into the office and says, we want to bring a bunch of people from the, you know, Presbyterian Church, then they go to the website, they download the form. It says who, what, where, when, what their time thing.
Just directing them to the website, period.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what those do. And so the ones that call us in advance, we're good. We know who we need to have. We'll have people out there. It's the others that just decide to show up. And that's when we need to get the alerts going to where when we can watch on the camera or any of you are out there and you can say, look, a bus with 80 people just pulled up. And so you send out an 8-alarm alert. So what I've kind of said, like one alarm could be 10 people approximately. 3-alarm could be 30 people. 10-alarm could be 100 people. And we just send it out. And those of you that can respond and feel like the Holy Spirit wants you there, then go and do what God says. And if the farm marshal can get there, fire chief Johnny, he lives close by, he'll tell you, you know, where to go and to dispatch the troops. Other than that, you know, the Holy Spirit will tell you. So, can I answer that? Yes? Any other questions about that part? Section 6, unscheduled guests and guidelines for talking to them. Now, we've talked a little bit about that, so to save time, I won't go back over that. But this is going a little more depth. When we have these unscheduled people, which is really most of them, it's what we go out there and people just show up. But try to remember, let's let God touch them before we do. And so you just let the Holy Spirit direct you. But if they can connect with God first, that's better than grabbing them and getting between them and God. So if you can, let them get to the cross, and then when they're leaving, then come up and ask them if there are any questions or if you can serve them or if they need to pray for anything. And then you'll find out what God just did with them, and then you just jump right in with the Holy Spirit. You know, often you can watch from a distance, or you, if you're there and you feel like you're supposed to greet them as soon as they come in, do that. Shake hands with them and greet them. But instead of immediately going into missionary mode, just say, I'm here if you need me. We got free stuff over there. Go ahead and look at the art, and I'm here to answer questions. And then they'll, so it doesn't stop them from getting to God and the cross, but they know you're there and you're officially with us, the Coming King Foundation. And allow them to look at the art and do what they want to do, and then they'll come to you, or either you can go to them before they leave. Again, determine the reason why they're there. Some people are just there out of curiosity, but others are there because there's a serious situation going on in their life. So try to find out what that is, and then pray accordingly as the Holy Spirit leads you. And the Holy Spirit will give you the exact right questions to ask. That's a real amazing thing. If you ask Him, what do I say to this person? And Sherry and I have had it happen hundreds of times. We'll pray that prayer with somebody, and then with a question we ask is the very one that's on this person's heart, that's very, you know, and it just opens them up. And you're a total stranger, and suddenly they're pouring out their whole life to you. You know, and you're going, what did I say? But it's because God anoints, and I'm sure y'all have all had those same kind of experiences if you do, you know, this very long, that will happen. So just let the Holy Spirit direct you. Find out what the priority is. We know what we've got to say. We know the gospel. But how God wants us to present it is going to be unique in every way. And so if you're listening to the Holy Spirit, then you're going to be great. If you're trying to get down a script, that won't work, because you can miss a whole lot of stuff God's trying to do, and you're trying to stay on a script. So give the Holy Spirit the first lead on that. One good way that we've found in doing the ministry is once you're now with a person, is interview them and simply get to know them a second and build a relationship. And the Holy Spirit will show you, but He'll start giving you words of knowledge and words of wisdom where He'll tell you maybe what the needs are of that particular person. And you can humbly say, you know, is your husband sick, or are your kids okay? I've had that where I just kind of humbly just say, thus saith the Lord, because that'll scare most of us Baptists away right there. But instead, be humble, and if you're right, they'll light up, and they say, yeah, how did you know? And you say, well, I guess that must have been the Holy Spirit. Let me pray for you. He wants me to pray for you for that. Those questions will help open things up, lead you in the direction. God will give you words of knowledge, words of wisdom. You'll know just what to do. Follow Him. Everything will be fine. He'll give you what you need. Also, just some of you may know this, that do deliverance, but the demonic kingdom is real. And the Bible talks about demonization, but one thing that we've observed in those that have demonic issues is they don't want to make eye contact with a spirit-filled believer. And so if you're around somebody and they don't want to look you straight in the eye and they keep turning their heads away, it's because the enemy has got a hook on them and he doesn't want them connecting with God through you. And so that's one little way you can watch their body language and their eyes, so you can kind of have a hint as to what you're dealing with. And if you have any concerns like that, you can just kind of under your breath say, Satan, I bind your power right now in Jesus' name. The Most High God is here, and I want to speak to this person. And they'll be set free. And so God will lead you. But some of the people up there, you know, coming up there, they're demonized. I mean, they got problems. But they've come to the cross to get help and to get healed. And again, you don't have to worry about being an expert or anything. All you got to do, you know the expert. The expert's Jesus. And so all you got to do is pray what He tells you, and you can bind the enemy where he cannot manifest. I've done that a few times with somebody in a group was manifesting, and I would bind the enemy so they couldn't manifest. I couldn't cast the demons out because they didn't want the demons out. I mean, they were into something, but I could keep them from manifesting and ruining a church service or what God was doing at that moment. And you literally can do that, and that's quite amazing that it does that. So watch their eyes, watch their body language. Our ministry response, just follow the Holy Spirit, be gentle, but sometimes you may have to be confrontational. If that's not in your personality, that's fine. Don't force it. It's okay in mine. Here this week, we had a guy show up, and I was out there changing out literature, and he's a total stranger, comes with his wife. He's a big, tall guy. He's Indian, like from India. She's Anglo, and anyways, I happened to be right there, and they had to pass me by, and I just said, hi, welcome. If we can help you, let me know. And the girl said, well, I'm a Christian. I said, oh, great. And she started looking around the deal, and I looked at her husband. I said, are you a believer? And he said, well, no, I'm a Hindu. I said, oh, okay, that's interesting. A Christian married to a Hindu. He said, yep. And I said, well, that's interesting. What do you do? He says, I'm a PhD scientist. And I went, oh, that's interesting. I said, well, if you're wrong and Jesus really is God, do you want to know it? He hadn't got past fisherman. I mean, God put it there. And the wife's watching at a distance, looking back over at me. And I'm saying, the spirits of Hinduism, they're all real. They're real spirits. I don't deny those are real spirits. And he said, well, Jesus is a spirit. I said, that's right, but he is the creator spirit. He is the one true spirit, the one God. All the rest are created spirits. And he said, well, I don't believe that. I believe. I said, well, look, if you're wrong, you want to know it. And he said, well, no, I believe that there's Krishna. I said, no, but if you're wrong, do you want to know it? And he said, well, no, I believe this. And you believe what you want, I bet. And I was thinking, no, wait a minute, this guy is a scientist? And I said, sir, if I was wrong, I would want to know it. I would want to know it if I'm wrong. And you don't want to know if you're wrong? Well, I believe this, and this. And about that time, a total stranger, one of the other guests at the garden, walks up, and it's a lady, and she goes, wow, this glory dust is amazing. And she's there, and she starts talking about the Shekinah glory miracle. And the guy suddenly looks at that, and he hears me answering her question, and she's all excited. And I said, yeah, isn't that a wonderful miracle? God does that with lots of people that come out here to the glory. And that Hindu looks at me, and he said, what is that? I said, well, it's an unknown metal. We've had it tested at Texas A&M University. It's an unknown metal. It doesn't occur in the universe. It's a brand new element. And he goes, that's really interesting. And I said, yeah, it is. And he said, my degree is in metallurgy. And I said, oh, that's interesting. I said, well, I'll tell you what. Let me give you my card with a website, and you go look on there and click on the Shekinah Glory Gold Dust, and you'll see the electron microscope pictures from Texas A&M University and their whole analysis. And he says, I'll do that. I'd like to do that. And I mentioned a couple of the labs that have tested it and been afraid to talk to us about it, at Los Alamos Nuclear Lab and the Southwest Research in San Antonio. And so what I saw there, see, I confronted the guy, which normally is not the gentle way, but in this case, I confronted his theology. If you're wrong, do you want to know it? And he didn't want to know it, basically. And I was not getting anywhere. And then God sends this total stranger up to interrupt our conversation right at that minute about the glory, and that was the thing that got his attention. And so anyways, after he got that, he said, yes, give me your stuff, give me your CD, give me your information, and I gave it to him. And I said, would you pray with me at least that God would reveal truth to us, whatever that truth is? And he said, yes, you can pray that prayer over me. So I said, your simple prayer, God, would you please reveal your truth to us? And if we're wrong, we want to know it. Would you correct us? In Jesus' name. He thanked me. He went off. We had to hear back from him. This just happened here. That's last week. But I mean, so there may be times when God has you be a little more firm rather than backing down and say, oh, you believe what you want, and I'll believe what I want. He was in the place where somebody had to tell that brilliant guy, and I didn't know he's a PhD at first, but I told the PhD, brother, you're wrong. You need to know it. I think it came out good. So we pray for his soul in Jesus' name that he comes to know the Lord. But apparently that day, that's what God wanted to get that guy's attention, to come up on that mountain. He was just drawn there out of curiosity. And then for what the transposed, what happened was just perfect to get to him where he was. Anyways, so you may have to, deal with those kind of situations and people. That are from different places and different religious backgrounds and no religious backgrounds, but the Holy Spirit will give you what you need. Our response, and again, get as far as you can with whatever you can. Try to take the ball down the field as far as you can. If you can lead them to Christ, praise God. If you can pray for the power, praise God. If you can get them healed, praise God. But in this case, I didn't get the guy saved. I didn't get him any of the other stuff, but I got him connected to the power source. And I told him who the power source was, and I told him he was plugged into the wrong socket, enough happened there, and then he took away the CD. See, you give these people the CDs and the literature, and the Holy Spirit will just keep working on them. And then we'll hear back. So I believe I'll hear back from that guy. Okay, and just minister as we've talked about, like God said, and go as far as you can. And then offer our resources. And then we do ask that people will, if they're able, if the situation is not a desperate emergency deal, have them fill out our card. Have them fill out the comment cards. If not, take it with them and let it mail it back to us, because that's really wonderful to hear what has happened to people after they leave that garden. And so give them our supplies the best you can. And then document anything that happens, the miracles that happen, like we talked about with the camera, get their name, address, email. So if something happens, we can follow up. But the best way is to encourage them to connect to us. And in that way, it's legit, and it's, you know, we're not forcing anything on them. Okay, any questions about the unscheduled tour people that come around? No questions on that? Okay.